I never knew anybody wanted to record me before, but that's good. My sobriety date, the way I normally start out, is June 12th, 2002. Charlie, most people know Charlie lives in what he says Kentucky. I call it Greater Cincinnati area. And it's basically it's a part of the Rust Belt in the United States for people that don't know where we are, right across the river from Cincinnati. I grew up in the area. Actually grew up on the Ohio side and went to school there, and proceeded, got a grad degree from XU, and I work as a CPA. And somewhere going through divorce, is when my drinking went from very heavy to out of control. I managed I used to coin the phrase, I'm really thinking about giving up drinking. And I probably used that for the last 3 or 4 years of my drinking. I had known a group of attorneys that were all that had gotten sober. I had called them, and they arranged for me to go to a rehab facility. And basically, I was a vodka drinker. I never did pot or any of the other drugs. And Shepherd, and they sent me to a place called Shepherd Hill. And Shepherd Hill is a rehab facility for doctors and medical personnel, pharmacists, and drug salesmen. That was 99% of their population. And the reason why doctors went there is because they could retain their FDA license to prescribe drugs after they got through the program. The program was a 28-day program. Most of the doctors that were in the program went through in 28 days. The nurses tend to take longer for whatever reason, and pharmacists were there literally for 6 months. Not exactly sure why, how that was arranged. And I happened to get a free bed there, and I was, and again, it was a 28-day program, and I was there for 135 days, before I got released. And when I got released, I went back to Cincinnati where I was living at the time, didn't have a job, had a boatload of debt, typical things that you see from that prospect. On the way home from Shepherd Hill, which is outside of Columbus, which is about, I'd say 175 miles from where Cincinnati was, I managed to get drunk on the way home. Some weird reason, I managed to call the Northern Kentucky Hospital, where Charlie now works, St. E's. They had a rehab facility as well here locally, and they also had outpatient if you completed their trip through the program. And it was basically all Delta airline employees at the time. And the thing that amazed me is, of that group, when I showed up for the first meeting, I was the only person, I think, that was sober in the group, which was kind of strange. But life, it sort of was starting to come back. You know, I found a independent job to do some work and things like that. Then for some odd reason, my liver shut down, and I was reviewed by a liver doctor at the University of Cincinnati, who told me I had fourth degree cirrhosis, and I was in had to go to the ectopic unit, and they would drain fluid out of your belly when, because your liver couldn't get rid of the toxics that are in your body. And that happened rather suddenly, unexpected. And UC offered me the ability to get another liver. And you have to go back to 2002, because in those days, somebody had to die for you to be able to get a liver. They weren't able to take existing livers and implant them yet by that time. I went through the program to do that, but I never wound up getting a liver because I had to talk to a psychiatrist, and they had to be convinced, psychiatrist had to be convinced that one is I wanted to live, and two, I wasn't going to drink again. And the psychiatrist I had to go see, every time I went to see him, he'd start out the meeting and then he'd sort of fall asleep. And he just starts snoring for the last 40 minutes of the meeting. It was rather weird, and I really didn't know. And at the same time, you were in this endoscopy unit. And to get an idea of, they would drain 14 liters at the peak. They drain about 14 liters of this fluid off your belly, and it would take 3 or 4 hours. UC Hospital is the general hospital of the area, so consequently, you're out in open areas in the hospital, and it so happened the endoscopy unit, if they were pumping that out, was on the walkway back to the cafeteria. And between the smell that you would have from the units and the pumping and all that, people were supposed to go back and eat food. And it was rather weird process. And during that thing, you had to I couldn't really hold much in the way of liquids down during the week. They is pretty limited, and that's probably because most of the people in that unit died from alcohol poisoning because they couldn't stop drinking. And I think that the fact that I was so sick, I was sicker than most in that unit, gave me the opportunity to get some period of time sobriety, or I probably would never have made it. And it's that thing that I always look back, and when people talk about the crisis in life, I always think through and try to remember how hard it was and how painful it was. And something that is so bad can work out to be something that's so good. And it is all part of that. It took, I think, about 9 months of those treatments, and my liver had repaired from where it was to what they called a stage two psoriasis. They told me that was about as good as it was going to get, and that as long as I did not drink, I had a lifespan of 3 to 5 years. Well, you wind up, when you're faced with that, it sort of reflects on how you live your life, and how you react to stuff. And a lot of those challenges are the things that today make it a lot more easier to deal with when there's shit that happens bad in life and how you go forward. And so the one thing through all that at that point was, I was, you come out and they sit down and they do this conversation with you, and they point out, what you have to do, to be able to live a limited life. And each of those challenges seems like it gave you opportunity to see the world differently. It really reflected back on, it's this 24 hours that matters. It's the only thing that you can do. It's hard for me to, when people are coming into the program and are struggling, and I rarely talk about those days to people, because it's, you have to, I know for me, I had a hit bottom, and I just didn't know what bottom was. And when you find out where bottom is, it sort of changes you. And it's also easier to be able to look and find the glass half full, of why you want to spend time, why do you want to be available, why you want to reach out and talk to other people. And it's those things that change you, and it's those things that make it real clear that if you do these things, you get to keep what you are giving away. And it's that one saying that never ever made sense to me is you have to give it away to keep it. Well, until it becomes the last thing, it was not something that I could ever focus on and figure out how you do. And I truly do believe that it's that giving away, that ability to smile in adversity, to be able to know that the world's going to be okay, that somehow this planet got into being, and somehow with that I can do the next right thing. Those are things to me that are really kind of great. And it's just hard to be able to figure out how you can do that. And the other thing that it really motivated me to do is the service aspect of the program. And there's a lot of ways to be of service. I mean, there's no endless amount, and you don't have to be service in AA to be service to mankind. You know, it's the ability to reach out, the ability to say good morning. It's the ability to, you know, it's in Cincinnati, it's below 20 degrees, and most people would complain about it. But in reality, the change of seasons is what makes the living in this kind of area so great, is because you get to see all four seasons. If you're in a warmer climate, you don't. In a colder climate, the summer seasons are very quick and fast. Here, they're equal distant, and it's the ability to be able to enjoy each of those and spread that joy among the people around, which I really gravitate to. And after after I got out of the endoscopy unit, and I was one of the survivors, the Cleveland Clinic put together a program. They found 50 other people that had fourth degree cirrhosis that managed to survive, and their liver had improved. And it required that you needed to fill a little questionnaire, answer somebody's phone call once a month. And I had met one person from the group. I just happened to meet him in Nashville, Tennessee, a weird AA meeting that I met, but it was a little bit over a year, not quite 18 months. The person that called me from the Cleveland Clinic told me that they're disbanding the program. And I asked them why. And they said, well, you're the only one that's still alive. And I said, how can that be? And she said, you're the only one that didn't drink. And it really got back to me that at that point, and it was also the point I had started working full time again. I was out and about, you know, I wasn't always sick. And I couldn't believe that, but it showed me how powerful this disease was. And how it doesn't go away and doesn't disappear, and how you have to be, in my mind, very active in the stuff you do, and how you spend your time, and how you can do the things to get the I call it the refresher, you know, to be psyched to show up, to know that you've been given a gift and it's your choice if you want to keep the gift or if you want to send it back. It's your choice to decide if you want to find happiness or not. I think all those things came, you know, because I was just stunned, you know, and time and time again, you see people that have made their way to the rooms, started down the path, and somehow they lose their focus. I don't know what it is. And they allow other things to creep in and change how they think and feel. And when I start the day, that's always in my initial prayer is that I remember, and I'm always appreciative of those times. And there's nothing that will happen today that's so bad that I can't find the goodness in it. And the only other thing is I can tell you is on anniversaries that are fives, tens, and when I hit 20 years, I guess I expect something banner to happen or something, but the world seems to get weird around those drop points, and I can't tell you why. I was sweating bullets getting through from 19 and three quarters years to 20 years, and for no reason. It was really no reason whatsoever. I mean, it was just, it was life is normal, except when you look at it through the crazy lenses, it was split and difficult, and it really shouldn't have been. Well, that's all I got. I hope I made somebody's day a little bit better than it would have been anyhow. Thank you all for having me.